We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Host Herschel Finman, I hope Rosh Hashanah proved to be quite inspirational, that we're preparing now for Yom Kippur. We opened up with, of course, the famed strains of Kol Nidre. This half hour, we'll be doing a year in review with the JCRC AJC Executive Director, David Kurtzman. That's being this half hour. Look over the past year. See, was 5777 good for the Jews? We have lots of music coming up, various assortments. We had a request. We'll be playing that request during this half hour of the show. There is no portion of the week, as this Saturday is the holiest day on the calendar, Yom Kippur, which supersedes everything. We have a wonderful Hasidic story, of course, relating to the time. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel sent its search and rescue squad and a battalion of IDF soldiers to Mexico following last week's earthquake. Israel's Zaka squad was in Mexico just hours following the quake. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with President Trump before their speeches to the UN General Assembly. Netanyahu said the U.S.-Israeli ties have never been stronger. The Prime Minister devoted much of his address to the UN General Assembly to a blistering attack on the Iranian regime. The Israeli consulate in New York was closed briefly following a second threat in less than a week. The consulate was shut down. Employees were prevented from leaving after an envelope containing a white powder and a threat against the Prime Minister was sent to the building. Of course, it was nothing. The follow-up of a story we reported last month, Razmia Odeh, the Palestinian woman who killed two Americans in a Jerusalem bombing in 1969, lost her battle to remain in the United States. Odeh was found guilty of lying on her visa and citizenship statements. In 2004, Odeh was awarded citizenship to the United States following serving 10 years of a life sentence in Israel. Odeh was flown to Jordan this morning with not valid for travel to the U.S. stamped in her passport. The United States opened its first official military base in Israel. The base will operate independently from within an Israeli military base in southern Israel. Several dozen American soldiers will be stationed there. And finally, a drone was shot down over the Golan Heights by a Patriot missile. The drone entered Israeli airspace from Syria. No injuries or damage were reported. And now we will listen to President Trump's greetings to the Jewish community of the United States in honor of Rosh Hashanah.
On behalf of all Americans, I want to wish Jewish families many blessings in the new year. The High Holy Days are a time of both reflection on the past year and hope for renewal in the year to come. Jewish communities across the country and around the world enter into a time of prayer, repentance, and rededication to the sacred values and traditions that guide the incredible character and spirit of the Jewish people. We reaffirm the unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel, and we ask God to deliver justice, dignity, and peace on earth. Melania and I wish everyone a sweet, healthy, and peaceful year, which we hope will bring many blessings to all. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are online with David Kurtzman, who's the executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, American Jewish Committee, here in Detroit. And we're discussing, as we are wont to do every year for the last 21 years here on the Jewish Hour, the year in review. How are you, David? Welcome to the Jewish Hour.
I'm wonderful, Rabbi. Thank you so much for having me. And how are you?
Great. Thank you for asking. It is a pleasure. Okay, so as we've told other guests, at the end of all this, we want a letter grade on the year 5777. So we're going to take a look at events that happened over the course of the last year and see what's been happening in the Jewish world out there. And we like to start it, the way we do it is Israel, the world, the United States, Detroit, as to what's happening. And so let's hear what have you got? What happened in Israel this year that was exciting and newsworthy, David?
Sure, Rabbi. Well, first of all, thank you again for the invitation. And I have to say, it's a lofty challenge to give a grade to the year, but let's see how we can do as we go kind of category by category. And I think when you start with Israel, I think overall folks would say, you know, it was a pretty good year. I think any year that Israel is not in some sort of a serious military engagement with its neighbors, that it's not being, challenged by its external threats is a good thing. But, of course, we know that there still have been incidents and terrorist attacks, and that just one attack and one casualty is far too many. So no doubt it continues to be a challenging situation, but in all, you know, it's a prosperous country, industry is strong, population is growing. I think overall people would say this was a pretty good year for the state of Israel.
Okay, what about the peace process? We've talked about the peace process here on the show, and really what a joke it is. But with the advent of the Trump administration, and there's all kinds of like photo ops and lots of good talking. We just had a thing last Monday with Netanyahu and Trump getting together and shaking hands and smiling, and everything's all really, really peachy cool. But any movement, you think, this past year getting closer to some sort of a peaceful coexistence between the Palestinians and the Israelis?
No, I have to say the peace process, I think it's almost a misnomer at this point, because I don't think we're talking about a process, really. And I think anyone who would honestly look at the situation and would say, you know, the parties aren't getting any closer to actually negotiating a peace. And I was in Israel over the summer, and I found that there are more Israelis talking about just managing the conflict or managing the status quo than actually trying to, come to some grand agreement. And I think for some, that's okay. It's finding ways to cope with the realities. There's no doubt that it causes hardships for many, but that it doesn't stop Israel from moving forward and from continuing to be really a superpower in so many ways, namely economically. And so, look, I think for many people in the Jewish community, and of course you can never speak for everyone, but to see the U.S. president go to Israel in the first year of his term, you know, to see Trump go right there and be expressing friendship, I think that resonates, and I think people are very happy to see that. And it's clear that the prime minister, that Bibi Netanyahu, is much more comfortable with President Trump than he was with President Obama. And so I think for American Jews, that sits well with people, that people like to see the continuing strengthening of the U.S.-Israel relationship. And in the clip you just played from President Trump, you know, to talk about the unbreakable bond between the countries, I think that gives people comfort when Israel continues to face real challenges from all around it.
Okay, you were in Israel, you said, this last past summer. I have a daughter who was in Israel for her mandatory rite of passage, one-year all expenses, paid vacation in Israel, which we call seminary. But she, we were talking back then, and I would get news pieces, and I'd ask her, what did you hear about this terrorist attack? And she'd say things like, well, which one are you talking about? It's like, it happens so often over here that they don't even report them anymore. So that was when people were like cars were being driven into people at bus stops and train stops and these things like that. Did you notice in your time in Israel this last summer any type of serious terrorist aggression, David?
Well, thank God when I was there was not a specific incident, but I think you're right that this has become kind of commonplace. You know, car rammings and stabbings and, you know, these lone wolf terror attacks. And, you know, to an extent, I think people become kind of used to it, that it's almost normalized. And of course, terrorism should never be accepted. It's just a reality. When I was there, it was actually the whole issue with the Temple Mount. And so there was a lot of attention to what had been, just before I arrived, the killing of two police officers, you know, right there. And then the response by the Israeli government putting up metal detectors and the fallout from that. So the focus was there. Of course, never a dull moment.
Indeed. Okay, let's move on to the rest of the world. Before we do that, actually, I want to talk about the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, which is, of course, outside of Israel because nobody in Israel is doing it. But it seems like this is one of those monsters raising its hoary head, and every time we lop off a head, there's another seven heads behind it. It's like that the monster in Greek mythology, whose name escapes me right now. So the BDS movement, I don't think, in my opinion, hasn't done anything per se specifically, but your assessment, please, David.
Well, I'm really glad you raised it because I think it's something that's on the minds of many of us, and certainly all supporters of Israel are concerned about attacks on Israel. And the Boycott, Divestment, Sanction movement is just that. It's an attack on Israel. It's trying to undermine the legitimacy and really trying to find a way to make Israel a pariah state. I think you're absolutely right to say that it's not achieved its goals. Israel is stronger than it's ever been. You know, BDS gets all this attention on campus, and yet not a single American university has ever actually divested from Israel. Further, we're seeing signs that actually people want to push back very strongly. AJC this year, which we have the privilege of being associated with, the American Jewish Committee, they had a campaign where all 50 governors of U.S. states stood up together and said, we're against BDS. It was 50 governors against the BDS movement. Here in Michigan, we led the effort to get anti-boycott legislation so that in the state of Michigan, it's illegal to participate in a boycott of Israel. In terms of companies that may want to do business with the state of Michigan, they cannot be actively boycotting Israel. So we, the pro-Israel community, are achieving great victories in this sense. And I think the BDS movement, my assessment, gets a lot of attention because it makes a lot of noise. It makes people uncomfortable. And that is not a good thing, but I think we are going to continue to triumph if we really hold together as a community and stand in solidarity with Israel.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Our guest today is David Kurzman, who is the executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, American Jewish Committee here in Detroit. Moving on to the world, generally when we're looking at the world, we're looking about anti-Semitism and Jews in major roles around the world. So what was new and different in 5777 as far as that concerned, David?
I think anti-Semitism around the world remains a concern. I think many of us look to Europe in particular and are anxious and worried about our brothers and sisters in communities where, you know, incidents happen on a regular basis. But, you know, I think we also have to look at the various personal perspectives that are shared with us. I had the privilege this past May of sitting on a panel at a conference called Hope Against Hate. And the Jewish Federation convened this conference with the JDC. And there was a representative of the JDC from Berlin. And she said, look, anti-Semitism, it's part of life here, and there's no getting around that. It's kind of noise in the background. But we as a Jewish community, we're quite strong. We're vibrant. We're actually a growing community. And their challenges are some of the same challenges we have about Jewish continuity and keeping people affiliated and involved and engaged. And so, you know, we can't let the haters and the bigots, the anti-Semites, you know, triumph when we have work to do to move our communities forward. So, you know, I don't have statistics to tell you one way or another. I think we can all look at headlines that were very distressing over the course of the year, but I think it's important to connect with the individuals and say that it's probably a mixed bag.
Let's look, for example, say France's Jewish community. Last year, before the terrorist attack at Super Kasher, it was estimated that France's Jewish population was about 600,000, and in this year, approximately 100,000 French Jews made Aliyah to Israel, such that there are now six Chabad houses around Tel Aviv, specifically geared for French-speaking Jews. And they tell me that if you're walking in downtown Tel Aviv, you better know French at this point. Mm-hmm. So we see that there is you have both. Those people who are leaving, but those people who are saying, well, we've lived here for close to 2,000 years.
I think you're right. I think the story kind of goes both ways. And in the past year, my understanding is that 25% of the population that made Aliyah were from France. So there's clearly something still happening there, and there's some real challenging, unresolved issues within French society. And certainly you could not fault members of the Jewish community for looking elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. We had Bernard-Henri Lévy on back in April, I think. And his maintenance is that he was a French person and he's Jewish and he's very pro-Jewish and very pro-French. And I said to him, I think, you know, it's about time that all the Jews left France. It's been like, we see that we're so unwelcome over there. And his response is, no, all the anti-Semites need to leave France.
Amen. I agree with him.
I don't know where they go. I hope they don't. Sure, they'll move to Calgary or something, you know. Saskatchewan. Although I'm not saying anything for the Simmons people who are the rabbi in Saskatchewan. But anyway, we get the idea.
No one should be subjected to that.
Absolutely
rabbi,
not.
Right.
Okay. So, and around the rest of the world, I mean, we usually, Europe gets a lot, because of the connection, you know, the United States and Europe, you get a lot of news back and forth. But we don't hear things about what's going on in, say, South America, Australia, with those Jewish communities. Do you have anything about those?
You know, not in particular. My work focuses mainly here in Detroit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure many of us saw the headlines. I think it was last week that Bibi was in Argentina, and we all know that there's still a strong, thriving Jewish community there, but one that has challenges, certainly those unresolved from the terrorist attacks and really the perpetrators of those attacks. Everyone assumes it to be Iran, but the perpetrators never having been brought to justice. So, you know, I think there are, you know, places where, you know, communities continue to get by, but you know, nowhere like the United States, and I think we have to count our blessings here.
Yeah. Okay, let's segue then to the United States. Things of interest that happened, news stories affecting the Jewish community. We had the strangest story of all this whole year were the bomb threats that were perpetrated by a, was he 17 or 19-year-old Israeli, which really scared a lot of people around the country.
Yeah, I think that is the headline certainly from the winter, that people were really on edge. And when we saw our own JCC and Hillel Day School and the JCC in Ann Arbor, you know, all these incidents have a kind of a cumulative effect. And it was absolutely strange and odd beyond description that the perpetrator ended up being from Israel. However, I don't think we can dismiss all of this as just a hoax and as something that was done thousands of miles away. Look, in St. Louis, Philadelphia, Rochester, New York, you saw cemeteries, Jewish cemeteries, being desecrated. And there were other threats that were directed against Jewish institutions that did not come from this deranged individual in Israel. So there is definitely an uptick in hate, and I think the Jewish community has been affected by that.
Okay. So as far as the Jewish population as a whole around the country, things have been quiet, things have been improving. I mean, nothing happened in my immediate sphere other than my daughter had to be evacuated from the JCC during that time. So, but what about Detroit then, David Kurzman?
Right. So just one more note about the situation around the country.
Okay.
And I look to our colleagues actually at the Anti-Defamation League for some guidance here. The ADL released its statistics on anti-Semitic incidents for the first quarter of 2017. And if you look at the first quarter of this year compared to the first quarter of last year, there's an 86% increase in anti-Semitic incidents. Now, Rabbi, these are not all hate crimes. An anti-Semitic incident could be an ignorant or a bigoted comment directed towards someone. But the fact that it seems, based on that study, and I would say based on anecdotes I'm hearing from other people, that people those who hold these bigoted views seem to be more comfortable expressing them, and that has a trickle-down effect to others who may not themselves be anti-Semitic, but they may feel more comfortable saying something off the cuff. I think we need to take some notice there. I don't think it is an existential threat to the Jewish community. I think most of us still feel very comfortable, as we did a year ago, two, three, four decades ago, but I think we have to be vigilant and we have to be aware.
What about the underlying movement, which is no longer underlying, of the far left or the far right or the alternate right, whatever they call themselves, the ones who are perpetrating hate against minorities, et cetera? And Jews still happen to be a minority, and there's always still, whether there's racism, there's always going to be anti-Semitism. That seems to have appeared quite strongly in this past year, no, David?
Yeah, I think there's been a resurgence. Look, this incident last month in Charlottesville is really the prime example, and I think it's very much on people's radars. And, look, when there are neo-Nazis and white supremacists, when they're marching through the streets of not just some rural town, but Charlottesville, where there's a major university there, and that protest, that march, was taking place within just blocks of the congregation Beth Israel, and you have a congregation that's on Shabbat having serious discussion: should we encourage our congregants to leave through the back door of the synagogue for their safety? Should we remove the Torah scrolls so that, just God forbid, because there had been chatter on some of these white supremacists online fora, torch the synagogue? This is 2017, and I think it's something we should be concerned in. And frankly, I think many of us are shocked that this would happen in America today. So there's really something going on. I think, one could say, look, they're exposing themselves, they're showing themselves for who they are, so now we know where the hate is. If the hate's going to exist, it should rear its ugly head, and we should know how to confront it. But I think for the average member of the community to see those videos, to see those images, it's really jarring, and it takes people out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Again, if you're just joining us, our guest today is David Kurzman, Executive Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, American Jewish Committee, here in Detroit. We're discussing 5777. Was it good for the Jews? Okay, let's move on to Detroit. That's, I assume, your specialty. So what good things or notable things happened in Detroit, David?
I think in all, we should be very proud, and we should feel very good about the state of our community. Speaking personally, I grew up here. I'm from West Bloomfield. I went to day school here. And after I went to University of Michigan, I left because 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of opportunity here. And to start my career, I thought I'd go somewhere else. So I went to Chicago. And you know, 2 years ago, I moved back. And, I think so many of us have great pride in this community. We have a lot to be celebrating. I think to see the resurgence of the city of Detroit and more and more Jewish people living in the city. The downtown synagogue over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they will be doing services in the old Temple Beth El on Woodward Avenue, which is, of course, no longer a Jewish institution. But for the first time in decades, the Torah will be read at that shul. These are developments that I think are very exciting. A couple weeks ago, I was at Farber Hebrew Day School to see their new beautiful building and to participate in a program there. This is a vibrant community. I think the younger population is growing. I think that that's a good thing. We want to see the next generation growing and thriving. And I think there are many positive developments to be proud of. And you say this is my area of expertise. The reality is it's all of ours, and we're all invested in this building of our community. And I think despite some challenging world events, some challenging national events, some things that could make people a little discouraged, I'd like to think that locally we have a lot to smile about and a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, I know a lot of my listeners are still perplexed over the JCC and Oak Park and what's going to be happening with that, you know, so people do miss that place. So,
no, there's no question, and it's outside of my purview, but I certainly would hope that there's a future there. I drive by it every day. I take my daughter to daycare just down the street, and we need it. We need strong institutions to serve our community.
Indeed. Okay, so now we're at the point of the time. Given overall all the things that we've just been talking about for the last 20 minutes or so, 57-77, what grade would you give it? David Kurzman, Executive Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, American Jewish Committee.
I'm humbled to have the opportunity to share a grade. I think it's a mixed bag. When you look at the rise of anti-Semitic incidents, it has to bring the grade down. We can't ignore these threats, but we have to have optimism, too. I guess I'd give it a C+. With an emphasis on the plus, and that we're trending in the right direction, I hope, God willing.
Okay, very good. Okay, we want to thank you so much for coming on, David Kurzman, the Executive Director, again, of the Jewish Community Relations Council, American Jewish Committee. Thank you for taking up some of your time. This is a busy season, as we say, and wish you and your family and all the people with whom you work a very happy and a healthy new year.
Thank you, Rabbi. Same to you. Shana Tova to you and yours.
Thank you. Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman, you're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have now coming up a little bit of music for you. We got some Rosh Hashanah stuff coming up. This is actually this next piece, which is being sung by Israeli star Hanan Ben Ari. Appears in the liturgy of both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's called Adon Haslichos, Master of Forgiveness.
Adon רוחות צולח עוונות נתנו לפניך ושוב חוזר אליך אחרי שנה מבקש סליחה האם היא מתקבלת בוא ונדבר על כל מה שהיה על הטוב ועל הרע אתה אבא וגם מלך איך הסתכלתי רק על מה שאין הולך ומתרוקן איבדתי את הדרך מה שקלקלתי תן לי לתקן מתחנן כמו בן רק תפתח לי דלת אדון עשה ליחוד בוחן הלב עבור חתנו לפניך רחם עלינו אדון עשה ליחוד יודע נסתרות חתנו לפניך רחם עלינו אדון עשה ליחוד שומע תפילות חתנו לפניך רחם עלינו אדון עשה ליחוד צולח עוונות חתנו לפניך מסביבי יש דיבור כזה נגוע שאני צבוע ומה פתאום חזרנו לדבר רק אתה רואה את הלב שלי ויודע כשאני דומע אותך לא יכולתי לשקר איך הסתכלתי רק על מה שאין הולך ומתרוקן איבדתי את הדרך מה שקלקלתי תן לי לתקן מתחנן כמו בן רק תפתח לי דלת והשעות עוברות לאט אני חזרתי שוב אליך חושף הכל בבת אחת חתנו לפניך אדון עשה ליחוד בוחן הלב עבור חתנו לפניך רחם עלינו אדון עשה ליחוד יודע נסתרות חתנו לפניך רחם עלינו אדון עשה ליחוד שומע תפילות חתנו לפניך רחם עלינו אדון עשה ליחוד צולח עוונות חתנו לפניך שטוב לי להיות מה שבחרתי לחיות מה שחלמתי למרות מה שפספסתי לתפור מה שקראתי לחזור אל עצמי אם רק תפתח לי דלת אין לי את הכוח תן לי את הכוח אין לי את הכוח לרצות את מה שטוב לי להיות אין לי את הכוח תן לי את הכוח אין לי את הכוח אם רק תפתח לי דלת
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Last Sunday was the open house, the grand opening for Jewish Ferndale, and we had an amazing turnout. We had beautiful weather. And people just came and they hung out and they just had a great time. And I got to speaking to a young man who is involved in Yiddish, loves Yiddish and Yiddish music, and began listening to the show and loves the fact that we play music in Yiddish, and said that he would like to hear probably what you'd call a Jewish standard at this point. I mean, it's even there's I have buried in the bowels of the Jewish Hour archive a rendition of this song sung by Eartha Kitt. So that lets you know how standard this song is. I remember once hearing somebody doing an introduction. It says, it's a country song. It's called Romania.
Romania, 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 Romania. Gewein am Mola, Mola, Mlam, das ist ja feine. Ech, Romania, 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 Gewalt, Romania, Romania, Romania. Gewein am Mola, 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 Mlam, das ist ja schöne.
Dort, sie wollen es gewähnen, auf Argenigen.
Sechs.
Wo das Herz geglänzt, dass die Gegend kriegen.
Sechs.
A Mammeligele. Sechs. A Karnazele.
Sechs.
A Pastramele.
Sechs.
Und a Gläsele Wein. Oi, in Rumänien ist der Gitt, wenn kein Sorgen weiß mir nicht. Wein trinkt mir nie, bei allem er verbeißt mir Kaschkabala. Ei, digi, dig, dam, digi, digi, dam. 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 Oi, in Rumänien ist der Gitt, wenn kein Sorgen weiß mir nicht. Wein trinkt mir zwett, ich später mir verbeißt mir Kaschkabala. Ei, digi, dig, dam, digi, digi, dam. 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 Oi, gewaltig wär mich schick, ich lieg na Brinze, Mama lieg, ich tanze Fräser bis der Stelle, wenn ich esse Bakla Jelle, Simsim, ein Digi Digi Dam, truff, truff, ein Digi Digi Dam, hopp, hopp, ein Digi Digi Dam, stock, stock, ein Digi Digi Dam, ei, zusammen haie, besser kenn ich sein, ei, Safar genigen ist nur rumänisch Wein. Oi, die Rumänen trinken Wein und essen Mama lieg, in wer ist gesanig, wabi, jener ist mich schicke, truff, truff, ein Digi Digi Dam, stock, stock, ein Digi Digi Dam, hopp, hopp, ein Digi Digi Dam, truff, truff, ein Digi Digi Dam, ei, zusammen haie, Eisa vergnügen ist nur meinisch Wein. Heuer gebirke mische Meier, steckt die Tisch, die Kechne Chaie, angetonnen, altes Grappes, Gitter, Kitzle, wo wird Schabes, und so. Heidigidigidam, truff, truff, heidigidigidam, hopp, hopp, heidigidigidam, stock, stock, heidigidigidam, Eisa vergnügen, besser kann ich sein. Eisa vergnügen ist nur meinisch Wein. Oi, hopp, stopp, tirli, poppen, zippen, zoppen, tirli, poppen, hopp, stopp, tirli, poppen, zippen, zoppen, tirli, poppen, bidiru, 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 bidiru. Ei, zusammen, haie, besser kann ich sein. Ei, sapar, genigen ist nur rumänisch Wein. Ah, ah,
some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. Last week, we happened to mention that it seems of a realization of a phenomena, which has been going on for several years, that the Jewish a cappella groups, which seem to be prolific and predominant around Passover time due to the nature of playing a cappella music, have come out with various Rosh Hashanah songs. And this will be 3 weeks in a row now. This is the Maccabees, and this is simply called Rosh Hashanah 2017.
Another year you made a promise, another chance to turn it all around. And do not say this for tomorrow, embrace the past day you can live for now. In all play.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. As we mentioned at the onset of the show, there is no portion of the week. It is suspended. We're done with portions of the week until, 3 weeks. And because it's all holidays now, and we talked about that last week. This Saturday is Yom Kippur. It is called Shabbos Shabbason, the Sabbath of Sabbaths. It is, without equivocation, the holiest day of the year. Such that, what's the deal with Yom Kippur? What's going on? It says that if there are Jews that go to synagogue once a year, that's the only time they go to synagogue, it's on Yom Kippur. So what was the marketing strategy that gets people in the door on Yom Kippur? Pardon me for saying so, putting it in such glib terminology. But what makes a holiday or any day, what makes a day the day that it is dependent upon the amount of godliness which is revealed that day. The holiday of Yom Kippur has the greatest revelation of godliness apparent, such that it's such a magnet for Jewry worldwide that they're attracted to go to synagogue, even though the rest of the year, not. What is this revelation we're talking about? Then we say the Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. So people go to the synagogue, and they're fasting for 25 hours, but not in synagogue for 25 hours, just fasting for 25 hours. We're in synagogue long enough. You know, there are 5 prayers which are said on Yom Kippur instead of the normal daily 3 that are added because of the holiday. The revelation of Yom Kippur is so great because it is the Yom Kippur itself which does the atoning. We say the Day of Atonement. So you ask a question, people stop. I ask people that have been celebrating and commemorating Yom Kippur for their whole entire lives. And I say, on the Day of Atonement, who's atoning? And they say, well, I am, of course. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I got these things. I'm saying, I'll hate for the sin of this and clapping on my chest and fasting. And the answer is, no, you're not listening to yourself. The atonement comes from the Almighty. Now, if you look at it, this is a relationship that we have with God. There are 613 commandments mentioned in the 5 books of Moses, which are commanded to the Jewish people. Don't get nervous. Many of them are only relevant if you're living in Israel, if you have a temple, if you have kings and prophets. Those commandments we don't do. Not that they're irrelevant, but we don't have the facilities to do them. So it's about 160 different commandments that are applicable to us living, say, in the greater Detroit area today. Each commandment is a connection to God. And the author of the First Lubavitcher River gives an analogy of like a rope that's made of 613 strands. And when a person, I would call it even a fiber optic cable, when a person does a commandment, it opens up the channel and keeps the strand running, and the rope is really well tied. When a person violates one of the commandments, so then that connection is severed, and there's no, the connection is lost. Comes along teshuva, which means to return to God, which is the Alter Rebbe akin to tying a knot in the rope. So what does Yom Kippur do? Yom Kippur smooths out all the kinks in that rope. and makes it such that, yes, indeed, we get a new start every year. And every year we come before the Almighty and we say, you know, God, I'm going to be better this year. And every year, hopefully, we make these good resolutions that we are going to be better. Looking over the course of this last year, we see that we could have been better than we were, but the Almighty is in a state of kapara, a state of atonement, you might say. He's willing, the godliness which is set up is there, that if you show up for Yom Kippur, if you're a participant, it's you got it, you made it, you're in the grade. This that we're commemorating Yom Kippur, as I tell people probably every year, there's a big difference between Yom Kippur, when we're not eating 25 hours, and say Tisha B'Av, which commemorates the destruction of the temples in Jerusalem, where we also don't eat for 25 hours. What's the difference? On Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat. On Yom Kippur, you don't need to eat. We become, you might say, otherworldly, per se. You know, the fact that it is like a Shabbos and the world just disappears like every other Shabbos. We're not connected to any electronic devices. And whatever's happening newsworthy, if we needed to know about it, somehow we'd find out about it, I guess. But we're disconnected from world and totally and completely focused on the spiritual, such that food would just get in the way. Because what Yom Kippur shows is this primary connection, this essential love that the Almighty has for the Jewish people. Because if you think about it, somebody does something wrong to you. Somebody wrongs you and then asks, could you please forgive me? I'm sorry. So, okay, you'll say, oh, good, no, fine. If the person does it a second time, you're going to start thinking, I don't know about this person, but maybe you'll say, okay. But third time, you're going to say, Fourth time, get out of my face. Who are you? I don't want to know you anymore. So with the Almighty, we come every single year. But because of the Almighty's great love for us, whatever happened last year, that was just last year. It's like the first time it happened. And this that we're asking forgiveness, it's the first time that we're asking forgiveness. So this year, Yom Kippur, we should make it such that indeed we have these firm resolutions which we adhere to. And we have, and indeed, a very good year based on this Yom Kippur, because immediately after Yom Kippur, with the blowing of the shofar, the sound of the ram's horn, at the conclusion of the holiday, we begin Zman Simchasenu, the time of our rejoicing, which is the period with the holiday of Sukkot, which we'll talk about next week. So we know that because we're going immediately from the days of awe to the times of our rejoicing, that the Almighty has indeed forgiven us, and we're on the good side. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. Don't go away. We've got an awesome story. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. If you want to get in touch with me, well, the way to do that is to go to rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage is a contact us. You contact me, I'll contact you. Everybody will be great. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show. Want to hear things? People actually are telling me that they're using, they go online, they do Google searches, and they're looking for stuff. And it'll come up that there was an interview with here on the Jewish Hour, and it's on rabbifinman.com. And they'll send me a thing. I heard this show from 2.5 years ago. I got the letter this week from 2.5 years ago. And thank you so much for, we found it very insightful and helpful in my research, you know, so I guess more power to you. It's a wonderful thing. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U-Story, which is Judaism expressed in a very concise and entertaining way by yours truly in different and various media for your pleasure and education. You'll also find the donations page. Yes, it is the last week of September, and we're still trying to pay off July. So things get kind of like fuzzy after about 3 months, you know. So they get nervous here at Salem Communications when things go 3 months. So we need you to step up. It's before Yom Kippur, okay? Rosh Hashanah has already passed. We're in the new year. Start the new year off right. Today is a fast day, if you're listening, so don't eat breakfast. So, or if you did eat breakfast, well, oh well, that's for Jews. So, but on a fast day, it's a very important to give extra charity because of the nature of the fast is such that it's supposed to get us to repent. And charity is always a good vehicle for repentance. So go to rabbifinman.com, click the donations page. We have, thank God, many people who are continuous donors. We get somebody actually donates once a week, I think it is probably, and we thank him for doing it. So not a big amount, small amounts. But lots of small amounts equal big amounts. So if you do feel comfortable doing $10 a month, that's awesome. Couldn't be bothered, just want to do $100 for the year, also great. So it'll keep the Detroit's only Jewish radio program now on air for 21 years plus ongoing. And we see you've gotten this far. We're already 53 and a half minutes into the show. You're still listening? Do it today. RabbiFinman.com. Don't like doing internet giving? No problem. Drop your contribution of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. The scene, 1796, the city Berdichev, which is located many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. The leader of the prayers on Yom Kippur was Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, the Rebbe himself. He was davening Musaf. And as he was about to begin the prayer, which begins, L'kel Orech Din, to God who conducts judgment, he suddenly started to tremble visibly. And when he came to the line that starts, L'kaine Avadav Bidin, he suddenly just froze. That line means he acquires his servants through judgment. He just froze. His face went white, and it looked like he was, his soul left his body, but he was still standing there. And after a period of time, he just like kind of like wake up. The color came back to his face, and indeed he began and he davened. He prayed with such tremendous fervor. It was just like such happiness. So after the services, the Rebbe had a tish. He had like, you know, a meal, and one of the older followers asked him, so what was the deal? Why did you stop at that line that says that the Almighty acquires his servants through judgment? So he says, well, it was like this. I was starting this prayer, L'kel Erech Din, that Hashem finds favor with judgment thing. And I happened to notice the accuser, as called in Hebrew, the Satan, with a large pack. And in the pack was all of the sins that the Jewish people had perpetrated over the course of the past year. And he was on his way to present them before the Almighty that the Jewish people should have a really bad year this year. Okay, so I was really nervous about this. Look at this. This pack was huge. All the sins of all the Jewish people. But suddenly the Satan noticed that there was a Jew actually sinning on Yom Kippur. He was violating Yom Kippur. So he put the pack down and went to grab that sin. to include it. While he was gone, so I started going through the pack. And I said, what's the big deal? So this guy talked in the synagogue. Okay, so this person talked bad about that person. But look what the hardships that the Jews have to live in. This is, you're talking about 1800s in Central Europe, you know, where people have to worry about not getting their heads hacked off by some passerby on a road. Look what the Jews have to pass. Is this really something to worry about? And as he was thinking this, all of the sins began to disappear one by one, so that by the time the Sutton returned, the pack was empty. The Sutton started screaming. What? Where are you? What's going on? Where are my sins? He said, he called me a thief. And he said, you have to pay me back. Give me back my sins. He says, I haven't got any sins. So he says, fine, you have to be sold as a slave. That's what Jewish law states. And he brought me before the Almighty, and the Almighty said, yeah, okay, I'll buy him. He will be my servant. And now we understand that when a person serves the Almighty, they are indeed fulfilling their mission here. That's going to wrap it up for us. We're glad we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We're glad we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a good week. We hope you have a very memorable and Yom Kippur. And you should be Chatima Tova, Gemar Chatima Tova. Everything should be sealed and put in the right place. We'll see you back again next Sunday. Take care.